Thank you so much, worship team, and welcome. It's great to see you guys this morning. It is the last weekend of spring break. I hope you guys have enjoyed yourselves, and it looks like some people are away traveling, and that's really a good thing. But we're glad that you've taken the time to be with us here. And those of you that are at home watching, it's great to see you. I wanted to just, I didn't communicate clearly enough to Tyler. It's not a parenting series that we're doing on Joe Knows. It was a parenting, we're in Wisdom from the Proverbs. And this past Thursday, we released something about parenting. And I would love for you guys to listen to that. If you have children, if you're a grandparent, if you're a young parent, if you're going to be a parent someday, I would love for you to listen to that because it'll just give you some wisdom to take on the daunting, amazing task of parenting children, and you'll get a little bit of help from the Proverbs because they're very helpful. So how you doing? Everyone good? It's great. Great to see just people here, and I'm very, very excited about today. This morning, we're going to wrap up our study in Philippians. It's been an amazing journey for me. Life-changing journey for me studying. I have determined that the best way to learn is to teach. And it's really the study and then the presentation and then the internalization of the things we learn. So I'm excited to wrap up this morning. We have a study guide that's available if you're here in the room. You can pick one of these up on the back table or the table right on the side on your way out. And if you're watching online, you can download it. And it'll help you go a little bit deeper. But just so you know, Gino's group, Gino has a life group, and they are meeting at his house right now. They had breakfast, and then they're watching now. So, hey, guys, it's great to see you. Parnicky Life Group, great to see you guys, and they're watching in. And Gino told me that Philippians, there's a story behind it. And Gino, maybe on Tuesday night, maybe you can tell us about it at the prayer meeting. But it was a book that really changed his life. And early in his ministry, and for me, it had this change later in my life and ministry. So let's jump in. This is actually our 11th sermon from the book of Philippians, 4 chapters. And we spent the last 3 months studying this book. And what I have seen and experienced how maintaining peace in an upside-down world is possible. I actually went through it. It's like, wow, it really is possible. And man, that's the greatest thing. I am determined to continue living this way as my life continues to unfold, and no doubt the world continues to turn upside down. Okay? I'm expecting that, but I am determined to continue maintaining joy. I intend to follow the God of peace so I can experience the peace of God. Do you see that? We have a God of peace that gives us the peace of God, His peace. And I know I can have that regardless of what I experience on my journey. There's going to come a day, hopefully I'll be around, where maybe, you know, sickness starts to get me, it starts to take me down, and maybe you'll get to watch me as my life comes to an end, be able to walk through that with joy, with the peace of God. And maybe that will inspire you to be able to walk through your life's journey, because you do understand life has a beginning, it has a middle, and it has an end. We don't do so good as the end starts to come, do we? We just don't. But we can, and we will. And maybe you can watch me and I can inspire you, or maybe I'll be able to watch you. But whatever it is that we go through, we can maintain that peace, and I'm going to pursue that with all my heart, and I hope you'll do the same. So I want to pick up where we left off in Philippians chapter 4. Here I am talking about death, right? Getting you all morbid out, right? Why? Death is when all of the things that we hope for actually take place. So why wouldn't we have a different kind of outlook, a different perspective on life? You and I will live life better if we understand that the end is not to be dreaded. We're to go and push hard all the way to the end, but when we get to the end, it's the beginning of everything we've hoped for. And that really easier said than done. Philippians is helping me to do that, and I hope it's going to help you too. So I want to pick up where we left off as we conclude our study. Chapter 4, verse 10, and he doesn't let up. There are some incredible things, nuggets, that we can take to the bank, and it can give us that joy that we want to have. So let's begin verse 10. Paul tells us, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. So Paul now is speaking. Remember, Paul is in the midst of a 2-year house arrest, and he now is speaking of the concern the Philippian church had for him, knowing that he was under this house arrest. And if you remember correctly, we talked about the Philippian church sent a man, a member of their church. His name was Epaphroditus, okay? Just like any one of us, it'd be like sending you, Robert Petherbridge, be like us saying, hey, Emmanuel is in Ghana. He's struggling. Robert, we need you to take, he's in house or under house arrest. And Robert, we need you to take a care package to him, something that would help him as he's under this house arrest. And we send you to Ghana and you go ahead and deliver that gift. Okay? So that was what had happened here. And they had sent, the Philippian church had sent Epaphroditus to deliver a care package. And it gave the Philippian church an opportunity to do something to help. And Paul says, I'm really happy you had that opportunity. I'm really glad that you had the opportunity to send me something to help. Now, a lot of times, by the way, I'll be talking a little bit about Emmanuel. At least I know he watches. He watches all the sermons. I think he watches it during the week, maybe live. Emmanuel, if you're there, hey, what's up, brother? Okay. Him and I talk every Saturday morning, and he is doing amazing. Baptizing people, God's performing miracles in people's lives. I mean, the miracles seem to happen at a little greater frequency in places like Africa where they don't have the medical kind of things that we have here. So God steps in and just heals people. And it's really encouraging. But a lot of times when we help someone, we think, wow, shouldn't we be patted on the back? And aren't they glad that we're here to help them? Well, Paul was one of the guys on the receiving end of being helped by another church, and he was talking more about how it was a blessing for them to actually be able to help him. Now, I'm going to unpack this for you, but you're going to see a different way of looking at. Paul had a very different way of looking at things than we do, because Paul was very much led by the Spirit. And the things that he wrote about, the way he lived his life, was not natural. It was supernatural. It wasn't something he did. It was intentional. It wasn't something that came to him. He was intentional in the way he lived. So when we give to those who are ministering the gospel, though it meets a need for those who are ministering, it goes beyond that, in that it also ministers to the one meeting that need. And you're going to see this much more clearly later on in the text this morning. Verse 11. Paul says, speaking of, again, he's talking about, you were concerned about me. You didn't know what to do. Finally, you got the idea. Send Epaphroditus with a care package. We sent Robert Petherbridge. Would you want to go to Ghana? I'm going to be going to Ghana this year, hopefully. You want to come with me? It would be great. We'll have a blast. Okay, but maybe we send you ahead and you bring a gift, okay? And he said, hey, but you now had the opportunity and I'm really happy you were able to do that. Verse 11, not that I'm speaking of being in need, Paul says. Under house arrest, he says, not that I'm complaining about my circumstances. I'm not complaining. I'm under house arrest. You sent me, you know, I did find out, I was praying the other night, and the Lord said there were brownies in the care package that were sent to him. There were actually brownies in there and chocolate chip cookies, okay? Now, I'm just kidding, okay? But Paul says, I'm not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I want you to think about that. Paul says, I'm not talking about, hey, thank you so much for the care package because, man, I was dying for a brownie. I was dying for some chocolate chip cookies. Forget that. You know what I'd want? Tacos. Okay? I would want someone, bring me tacos. And he's saying, I'm not speaking about the fact that I really was craving what you gave to me and I really needed. I was in need. He wasn't complaining about his circumstances. Though grateful for the gift, Paul's joy was not dependent on having his needs met. You catch that? It wasn't about his having his needs. He appreciated it. He was thankful. He was like, man, I'm really glad. I know you guys were worried about me. You sent this gift. I'm really glad that you feel better now that you sent the gift. And I'm grateful to have it. But I really didn't need it because I have learned the secret of being content. Wow. In whatever situation I'm in, and he's writing from house arrest. And Paul is going to be, later in his life, he's going to be imprisoned in a dungeon-like place, and he is now going to really be suffering, but he was able to have joy because he had learned the secret of being content whatever the circumstances he was in. You could not touch him. You couldn't touch his joy, and you couldn't touch his peace because it wasn't dependent on his circumstances. Do you know the non-believer cannot live that way? Because they don't have the Holy Spirit we just sang about living within them, filling every void, every need that's there. It's already filled. Paul said, man, these brownies, these tacos, okay? I hope that carnitas is my kind of taco, okay? I like carnitas. You know, I like it, but I have the Holy Spirit filling the need, so that's really nice, but I didn't need it to have joy. I didn't need it to have peace. Verse 12, I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound, meaning to have a lot. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. Paul learned this secret. He's talking about the secret is being content regardless of our circumstances. It's a secret. There might be someone in this room right now that went from riches to rags, okay, or rags to riches, right? Okay, you see, when you're in rags, it's not the riches that bring you the joy. Okay, you can have joy when you're in rags. You can have joy when you're in riches. You can go from riches to rags, and if you had joy when you had riches, if your joy was based on your riches and then you go from riches to rags, you lose your joy. But if your joy when you had riches was based on what you have in Christ, if your joy was based on that, then it can't be taken away. You understand? And that is the way we can live. Many of us don't. We just get caught up because the world, it's not natural to live that way. It's natural to try and grab and get as much as we possibly can because that's how you get happy, right? And it's a lie. Talk to people that are wealthy and don't have their act together and they'll tell you it's empty. I remember in my life as a young man, I didn't know Christ. In fact, I was a non-Christian who, again, I wasn't really open to the gospel, but I always kind of, when I found Christ, it's like, this is what I've always wanted. I've always wanted something that can't be taken away. And you know, my dad had made a lot of money, and he bought a business from my older brother. My brother's 5 years older than me. He was 23. I was 18. I graduated from high school. My dad bought us a landscaping business. It came with two trucks, a whole bunch of equipment, and we bought two Italians, okay? Now, we didn't actually buy them, but they came with the business because they worked for the guy we bought the business from. And these two Italian guys, it was Frank and Sal, and they didn't speak English. Sal didn't speak any English. Frank spoke broken English. And so they were our workers, and the four of us started this business. And it was really funny. Oh, I had a blast. I can speak with the best Italian accent. I don't speak Italian, but I can speak with an Italian accent better than anyone in the world. Really. What time are you figure I finish, Joe? Maybe no, that's enough, okay? Putting down for maybe no, that's enough. I had the accent, and I would talk to them with the accent. I still do that. If you ever with me in a foreign country, I start talking like the people in the accent with English, okay? And I just have I drive my kids crazy in Mexico. We go to Mexico on vacation, and I'm talking to everyone with a broken accent, and they think I'm Spanish, okay? They think I speak Spanish. I don't. I just have the accent down, okay? So I'm 18. I have my own business, and you know these guys are working for us. They're much older, and then as the years go on, the business grows, and now I've got more money than I can spend. We're making a lot of money, and I didn't know what to do with it. I had a new car, and then I bought another new car, and I just lived. I would travel in the winter. We wouldn't work for 3 months. We'd get paid. Okay, I was off December, January, and February. The whole time. It's one of the reasons why I don't like sabbaticals, because when you have that much time off every year, it just wears you out. You don't even like it anymore. But anyway, during my time off, I would travel all over, go to the Caribbean, go on vacations, different things like that. I had more money than I could spend, and when I was 22 years old, I started to think about life, because I remember my friends would say, "Hey, Joe, you've got everything that we want. You've already got it. And man, what's that feel like?" And I'd be like, "Oh, feels great. Feels really great." And then I'd go home and I'd say, "It doesn't feel really great. In fact, if that's what they're chasing and I've already got it and this is all life has to offer, then life is not very meaningful. Life is empty." That is what made me start to seek God, and I found Christ. You can read about it in my book. I'll tell you the testimony another time. But the thing is, it was having things that made me realize that things are not what bring joy. And some people, they stay in rags. They don't go from rags to riches. So they stay in rags, and their entire life they live chasing after the riches, thinking that when they get the riches, they'll have everything they want. And they die not realizing that they were chasing the wrong thing. Talk to people that win the lottery, okay? The trouble that it brings, and it's because that becomes a person's focus. And those, the things of life are not what brings joy, not for the Christian. It's Christ who gives us everything we could ever want and more, regardless of what we have around us. Now, Paul knew that. He understood that. So he says, "I'm not complaining about my circumstances." He learned the secret of being content regardless of his circumstances. Content wasn't, "I'm laying up, well, if this is all I get, this is all I get." No, Paul is writing Philippians talking about joy. He's like, "Man, I'm on top of the world. Life is great. This is amazing." How? Because he had the Lord. He had the Holy Spirit filling him and giving him everything that life has to offer. And then the brownies and the carnitas tacos were just extra. Really nice to have that. But man, I didn't need it, but it's nice to have it. You see, being brought low or abounding, being in plenty or being in hunger, having abundance or having need, Paul learned the secret of being content. Now, where did Paul find the strength to live this way? Now, before we move on to this next slide, the scripture is going to answer it for you, but it's going to answer with a verse that you've heard hundreds of times. You've seen it. In fact, if you walk into a Christian bookstore, you're going to see this verse plastered everywhere. They put it on pictures and sell it in bookmarks and just things to remind us, but it's almost always taken out of context. Because we're going to see this verse now in the context in which it was given. Paul is talking about the fact that he had learned the secret of being content regardless of what he had, what he didn't have. And verse 13 says this, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Now, how many of you knew that the all things that that's talking about is referring to the ability to have joy regardless of your circumstances? It's not, thank you. We had a couple of ladies here that are astute Bible students. Yes. But most people, I can win the race. Me and Pat Edward played golf Friday afternoon, and there was a girl behind us that was playing, and we noticed she was really, really good. And she was a little girl, and we were waiting a little bit, and I called her over. She was with her mom, and they drove up, and I said, "Hey, how you doing?" And she was an American Indian, and she was playing in a tournament Saturday and Sunday. She's playing the second game today. Her name is Beans. Beans, I don't know if you're watching. You're probably not watching. But I've been in touch with them because I talked to her, and she is an amazing, amazing golfer. She's incredible. And so I got to talk to them a little bit. We were watching her hit. Now, Pat, I'm not a golfer, much of a golfer. Pat can play, right, Sean? Pat can play the game. And this girl was better than both of us. And she was hit. She's little. So how old are you, Beans? I'm 13. 13. She's in a tournament, 13 to 18-year-olds, and she played yesterday. So I said, "Hey, can I pray for you afterwards?" Yes. So at the end of the round, I met with her family. Her parents were there, her brother. And I prayed with Beans that she would do her best in the tournament. I find that she is a child prodigy, that she's been on television shows. I didn't know this. She's been on TV. She's had articles written about her, interviews and everything else. She's 13. So yesterday she shot, and she's playing back from the blues, okay? So you have blue, which are really good golfers. Then you have white, which is closer. And then you have red, which is women. But she played from the blues yesterday and shot a 76 at a very tough course called Tango Ridge. And came in tied for second. I said, "Beans." So I called. I said, I prayed for them, and then I was praying for her. And then they contacted me. And I said, "How'd you do?" Shot a 76, tied for second. She's four strokes behind the leader, and they played the second round today. Beans. And I was on the phone with her yesterday. I prayed with her on the phone. Her family gathers around. We put her on speaker, and I prayed with them. And I said, "Listen, Beans," I didn't realize this, but this girl's going to be famous. And she's about, I like, because she's shorter than me. I like that, you know. But she's only 13, okay? It won't last long. So, you know, a lot of time I would have said, "Hey, Beans, I'm going to pray with you. Remember, you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. Lord, help Beans to win. In Jesus' name, amen." That's not how that verse reads. You know how that verse reads? Listen, Beans, go out there and play your best. And win or lose, if you do your best, you can know, you can keep your head high. Because you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. You can be content with the best effort you had, even if it falls short, and even if the 17 or 18-year-old beats you. And I said, "By the way, 3 years from now, you're going to be whooping them all," okay? See, that's what the verse means. That we can be satisfied with the life we have. It doesn't mean we don't try and better ourselves. I think as Christians, we should try and better ourselves. But as Christians, we can be satisfied and content and experience joy, not when things go the way we want, but now as we pursue and try and get things to go the way we want. But whether they do or don't, we can have that sense of contentment, of joy, and peace through Christ, who will give us strength to do that. That's what I'm going to tell Beans today, win or lose. We're going to talk later on, and I'm going to be her chaplain. I am her chaplain from a distance. They live in Oklahoma, okay, and I'm going to be her chaplain. The strength to be content. Pray for that. Christ, Lord, help me, give me the strength to not be looking forward to when I'm going to be happy, when I'm going to have joy. Give me the strength to find it in my present circumstances. Wow. Okay? Let's move on. Let's get back now as we're going to continue. In verse 14, we get back to the care package. Remember from Robert Petherbridge sent the care package to Paul. Oh, wait, no. You're going to send the care package to Emmanuel in Ghana. Epaphroditus sent the care package to Paul while he was in jail in Rome. Okay? So verse 14. Paul says, yes, it was kind of you to share my trouble. Okay? So Paul acknowledges the kindness expressed by the church in sharing his trouble. Paul was not in denial to the fact that being in house arrest was a troublesome situation. He wasn't in denial. He just was able to see beyond it. He was able to find joy in that circumstance. He was able to live above his troubles and maintain a place of joy and peace, which made giving thanks very easy. Do you know when you're in a difficult situation? When you can get above it, you can actually give thanks for it. And that's what the scriptures tell us. In everything, give thanks. Remember last week we talked about, do not be anxious. Stop worrying. Remember the rocking chair? You're moving, doing a lot of moving, but you don't get anywhere. Do not be anxious in anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Okay? When we add thanksgiving, Lord, thank you for the circumstances I find myself in. We have a few people in our church with cancer. Okay? Beth Marshall right now, she's had a form of leukemia. She went through the bone marrow transplant. I talked to her the other day, and she wasn't feeling great, just weak. Her body seems to be, at this point, it's going to take about 3 months to know whether the body accepts or rejects the bone marrow that she received as a transplant to fight off the form of leukemia, whatever exactly it is. And but amazingly, I've talked to her all along. She has joy. So she would have to say, Lord, I thank you for what you're allowing me to go through. Would you give me the joy to rise above and overcome and experience your joy and peace in the midst of this situation? See, guys, regardless of what we face, in Christ, we got it. It's all good. It's all good. Well, don't let something happen to my child. I mean, if it happens to me, listen, I don't want anything to happen to your child. I don't want anything to happen to my children. But if it does, we're good because we have him. And we can learn the secret of being able to give thanks, accept the circumstances, and walk through it with joy and peace, even in times that we're broken. You can have joy and peace and be broken because of Christ. We can. We can. Let's just continue. Verse 15. He says, and you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, Paul had gone out to plant churches. In the beginning, he said, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you alone. Surprisingly, this Philippian church was the only church, at least early on, that partnered with Paul financially as he spread the gospel. Verse 16. Even in Thessalonica, that's a city, you sent me help for my needs once and again. So while he started a church in Thessalonica, Paul started churches everywhere he went. And you're about to see, he's in house arrest in Rome. You're about to see the ministry he had while under house arrest. But they were there to help him. Now I want you to watch what happens in verse 17. Paul says, so you guys have really been faithful to us in giving us gifts. I would imagine Emmanuel would say that Crossroads has been the church that has been with me, walked with me financially, and helped me every step of the way, because we have. And that's what the Philippians were kind of like to Paul, okay? Verse 17, Paul says, not that I seek the gift. Emmanuel, are you listening? Not that I seek the gift. Paul was not about receiving the gift. I want you to see what he was about. But I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. Now, I want you to look at this with me. Especially those of you that have the gift of giving, okay, who find yourselves being in a position to financially support things, I want you to see how Paul tells us this works. He says, not that I seek the gift, Paul says. So Paul had learned the secret of being content, so he was not as concerned with receiving the gift as he was with the blessing the church would receive for giving the gift. You see that? Okay. Even when receiving gifts, Paul sought and focused on the fruit that increases in the account of the one given, giving. Okay? So it says there that Paul says, I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. It's translated in the NIV this way. I seek the profit that accrues to your account. Okay, so if you're a bank, if you're into banking and finances, okay, I want you to imagine this, that as you and I are given things and as we take those things and share those things with other people, as we give them earthly mammon, okay, possessions we have food, we have clothing we can give away, we have finances we can give. As we give to others, there is a profit that accrues in our account. What account? Okay. What account? Okay. There is an account in heaven. And it is where our rewards are contained or are held for us. And as we give to meet the needs of those that are ministered, in this particular case, it's those who are ministering the gospel. As we give of our things to meet their needs, that there is a profit that goes into our account that's in heaven. The interest rate is really high in heaven. And you don't have to worry about a crash in the market. The heavenly market doesn't crash. It grows. And we actually, Paul is referring to this. It's not developed in other places in the scripture, but at least here it's saying that as we give, God sees. You don't even have to tell anyone. Listen, you can give to someone and not get giving credit for it, okay? Someone is in need. You can come to us and say, Joe, someone's in need in the church, and can I give this money, and can you give it to them? Absolutely. And we of course, if you give us $100, we're going to give $100 to the person you asked us to give it to. And that kind of giving, there are ways to do that where you will get giving credit for it. You can file it on your taxes, and it limits your taxable income. It's a tax deduction. But do you know there is a more important account that when you give and no one knows and no one sees except the only one that really matters? And as you give and do things unto others, listen, I'm not in the habit of giving money to homeless people. I don't really recommend it. But when you do it from the right heart and the right motive, that goes in your account somehow, some way. When you meet the need of a neighbor, when you just do something nice for people, God is watching everything, and he can reward us. That's why Jesus said in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, Paul quoted Jesus having said something. We never see this in any of the Gospels, but Paul said that Jesus said this, or actually the writer of Acts, it's Luke actually. Luke said this, not Paul, I'm sorry. Luke wrote the book of Acts. And Luke tells us that Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. See, and there's this idea of giving. Now, this past week, we just sent Emmanuel $3,500. And it's money that people support him. He's about $2,000 away from putting the down payment on the property he's going to buy. And once he gives the down payment, half of it, it's $11,200 he needs. Once he gives them that, then they can start meeting on the property. And he's getting close. Of that $3,500, I don't really know how much came from Crossroads. I think $250, $300 a month. Is it more than that, Tyler? Yeah, a little bit more than that. But a lot of that money came from you. People give. If we get a check and it says Emmanuel Ghana, it goes to him. It goes in his account, and then we send it to him. But actually, it goes in your account. And of that $3,500, some of that went into your account that's in heaven. And when you get up there, you'll have it with interest. And God will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. So, Emmanuel, here's your job. You need to be thankful when you receive a gift from us. You need to be thankful for the way that it's increasing in our account in heaven. And don't worry about the gift. You just be content. Emmanuel, you will have what you will have the money for that property when God is ready for you to move on to it. Now you do your part, but leave it to him. And it's coming very soon. Verse 18. Paul says, I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. Now, he refers to this gift in a way that should stimulate our minds if we've been studying through Philippians. He says, the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering. The gifts that the Philippian people sent to Paul were a fragrant offering, and a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. Now, the gifts given to Paul by the Philippians were a fragrant offering, an acceptable and pleasing sacrifice to the Lord. Do you remember we talked about the drink offering? Paul said, my life is being poured out as a drink offering. So we're to do the same thing. The drink offering is as we pour our life out to accomplish the will of God. And then Paul talked about the sacrificial offering of the faith of the Philippians. The sacrificial offering of our faith is our willingness to suffer for Christ, to do the work of God and to suffer. But now we see that giving gifts to those who are ministers of the gospel and are in need. Now listen, I've seen churches where at the end of the service, they take an offering. I've not seen this in America. I've seen this in other countries. And the offering, they come up and give money to the pastor. I've seen this. And, you know, the service is 3.5 hours. Sometimes I think the people were just giving the money to get out of there, you know. But I've seen people come up and throw the money on the stage. And that is not at all. So not that you would do that. But that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about the giving to those in need. And I'm really not in need, so I don't fit that qualification. There are some young ministers, evangelists, musicians, pastors that are in need. And so when we give gifts to those who are ministers of the gospel and are in need, it is a fragrant offering to the Lord. And it's a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. Isn't that something? Amazing. So in summary, I'm wrapping up. I'm trying to get my sermons shorter, okay? Give you the same impact, but say it a little quicker. So Paul was pouring out his life as a drink offering. Eventually, he would pour his life out, and then God would fill it, pour it out, God would fill it. And later on in his life, a few years down the road, he would pour it out, and God didn't fill it because he died. Okay? But Paul was giving his life away. Paul was willing to suffer and die for his faith. The Philippian people were also willing to suffer for their faith. And they were also willing to share their possessions to help meet Paul's needs, who was a minister in need, which was a fragrant offering to God and an acceptable sacrifice in the eyes of God. And all of this was for the purpose of the gospel and for the glory of God. See, that's how the kingdom works. That's how it works. And this was being done to meet Paul's needs, not his wants, even though Paul had learned the secret of being content, so he really didn't need them to do what they were doing. Wow. What a beautiful picture of the way the kingdom works, the way the members of the kingdom work to serve each other. You know, we need to find some young ministers, some young people in all different kinds of ministry that are in need, and we need to get behind them. And you don't need the church to lead the way. Just find people. And And then we give, and it's a fragrant offer, a fragrant aroma to the Lord. We're meeting their needs, but we want to make sure that someone is helping those ministers to learn to be content, whatever the circumstances. That's kind of my job, because I work with these young pastors, and I try and help them. Mostly the African pastors that I work with, because in the church I was talking about is in Africa. I'm not criticizing it at all. I'm just telling you, I observe this. I observe the giving of those gifts to the pastor, and he gifted, godly, wonderful man, generous man. But I work with two African pastors, one Emmanuel in Ghana, and one Michael, who is here. He's a Nigerian. He's here in America. And I constantly am trying to teach them that it's not about arriving and getting to the top. It's about serving and staying low. Brock, that's something that you used to say to me. We go through phases in our life, but I remember about a year ago you were saying, Joe, I'm really trying to stay low. I'm trying to stay low. You know, sometimes things, you know, you can start to have people notice you and say things. And Brock was like, what Brock was saying was, listen, even though people are lifting me up, I want to stay low, right? They're lifting me up, they're saying, Brock, but I'm staying low because I know that God is opposed to the proud. He gives grace to us when we're humble. So as much as it hurts right now for me to bend like this, I'm with you, Brock. I want to stay low. Paul stayed low. As the Philippian people shared in the meeting of Paul's needs, let's see how God would respond to the meeting of their needs. Verse 19, and my God will supply every need of yours according... Well, let's stop right there. And my God will supply every need of yours. Now listen, he is talking here. He's right in the midst of talking about the giving of gifts to a minister in need being a fragrant offering. He's saying that you're being used to... Your sacrificial offering of faith is being used to meet the needs of a minister who was in need. This was Paul. And then he turns around and Paul says, and my God will supply every need of yours. Paul says, you're helping supply my needs, but I've already learned to be content. So what needs did Paul have? He didn't have any. And he's saying that my God, Paul's saying, will supply your needs as well. So God, you know, a lot of us, we say, well, God will supply our needs as long as there's money in the bank, right? Or maybe as long as Social Security can be kept afloat by the time I retire, okay? I heard they're going to change the retirement age for millennials, they're changing it to 35, okay, from 65. I'm just kidding. But as long as Social Security is still afloat by the time I retire, then my needs will be met. Or as long as I can hold on to this great job I have, my needs will be met. Or as long as the stock market stays afloat. Oh, politicians, don't say things that scare people. Isn't it amazing how the stock market works? It's never based on anything. It's just based on fear. As long as, what is it for you that, well, my needs will be supplied as long as, what is it for you? But what is God meeting? When God is the one meeting our needs, what is that dependent on? Look, it says, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. It's not money. It's not things. According to his riches in glory in Christ. And that is a sure thing. You know what Philippians is teaching us? Don't bet your joy. Don't bet your peace on what's happening around you. It's a sure thing if you put your hope in Christ. If you rejoice in the Lord. Not rejoice in the Lord. If we rejoice in the Lord. If that's the source of our joy, then we're going to have, God's going to meet every need that we possibly have according to the riches and glory that are in Christ that cannot be depleted. Verse 20, To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now remember the house arrest and how Paul was allowed to have friends visit him? Well, Paul was able to freely minister from the confines of this house arrest, but he was chained to a guard. Okay? Let's see how God used this situation to further his kingdom as we look at the last three verses. Verse 21. Paul says now as he wraps up, greet every saint in Christ Jesus to the Philippians. Hey, tell all the people that are believers, that probably were new believers coming to Christ in Philippi, greet them all in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me, the Christians that are here with me, greet you. Verse 22. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. Who's Caesar? Caesar was the emperor. He was Italian. I like to say that, Jim. I just want to get that in there. He was the presidente, el presidente, you know, el Mr. Emperor. And Paul, having been in Rome, says, by the way, there's a whole bunch of people. Most believe that Paul had led many of the guards to Christ and many of the people that he was around while imprisoned in Rome under house arrest, that he had used that to bring the gospel to Rome. And he had used that. And how Paul was able to lead those for Christ while his world was turned upside down. While it was turned upside down. He didn't complain. He didn't fight. He just said, you know what? Since I'm here and I got a guard chained to me here, it's like, well, hey, what would happen to you if you died today? Do you know where you'd go if you died? He said to the guard. Do you know if you'd go to heaven? The guy's like, I don't even know what's going on. And he said, well, I'm going to tell you how you can know to heaven. Now know about heaven. And they watched his life, and they saw him, and many of them came to Christ. So even you cannot stop the gospel. You cannot stop a person who carries the gospel. You cannot stop a person who has the Holy Spirit living inside of them. Listen to me. We cannot be stopped unless we choose to stop. If we keep our eyes on Jesus, if we rejoice in the Lord, then nothing will ever be taken from us. We'll be able to maintain our joy in an upside-down world. Verse 23, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, and I pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ will be with your spirit. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we come before you now. What an amazing book, an amazing story, an amazing account of what is possible when a person has their focus in the right place. Joy that can't be taken away. Peace that can't be described, regardless of what's happening around us. Lord, I want that. And you've helped me to experience it, and I know things have been going pretty good lately. But Lord, when things get tough, if and when they get tough, I want it. I don't want to give it up. I want that joy and I want that peace that comes when my focus on receiving those things is from you. Would you help me to do that? I want to do it, number one, to please you. I want to experience those things and I want to be an example to those in this church. And would you do that for each of us so we can be an example to each other? So, Lord, We believe that we can maintain joy even as the world turns upside down. And I pray that each of us would experience that in a greater way than ever before. And we pray this together in Jesus' name. And we thank you for the book of Philippians. In Jesus' name, amen.